Politico Brussels Playbook, presented by EPP Group. Italy Crunch Time, Tariffs Ahoy, Summer Reading. By Florian Eder. With Zoyashev Talovich. Presented by EPP Group. Send tips here, tweet at Floriander, listen to today's playbook and view in your browser. What to read this summer, here are the books MEP suggest for your summer reading list. It may look a bit classical bourgeois, but they did ask folks for books that made you see the world differently. Which in my case, pardon my tardiness, would be Latin Grammar by Carl Beyer and Joseph Lindauer, my daily companion at school for many, many years, which still has a pride of place in my library. More recommendations below. Good morning. Remember it's Eurozone Day today at the Commission. With Valdi Stombrovskis and Pierre Moscovici presenting the two budgetary instruments playbook first reported on Wednesday. It would seem the natural division of labor between them is that Dombrovskis does the appraisal of the reform delivery program, which is supposed to incentivize countries to commit to going the extra mile. Moscovici, meanwhile, caters to a different French, among others, audience and will announce a facility against asymmetric shocks, which is what comes closest to the seed of the Eurozone's own budget. Chances of success? The former is a formal legislative proposal that is now in the mix. The latter would need national governments to vow to give up some of the benefices the euro bears for them. Pro tip, the Italian drama doesn't make Germany or any other country more likely to do so. A message from the EPP group, no EU country will be left alone to face natural disasters. At our initiative, today the European Parliament will back a renewed and improved EU civil protection mechanism. It will provide for its own operational capacities at the EU level, such as aerial forest firefighting, high-capacity pumping, field hospital and emergency medical teams and other tools. Italian crunch time. Any government in sight? Maybe, maybe not. Italy's sensitive political souls recovered quickly from Gunther Oettinger's harsh words and got back, at vertiginous speed, to what they do best, trying to outsmart each other. First, the five-star movement's Luigi Di Maio called off his previous threat to impeach President Sergio Mattarella and seemed inclined to not oppose a government led by the president's chosen man Carlo Cottarelli. Later, in a matter of hours, he suggested he'd rather give that amorfu with the League another try. Savona issue, the need to save face could mean that Paolo Savona, a man who has spent much of the past few years writing about how wonderful life outside the euro could be, won't become Italy's finance minister, but will get a different portfolio to manage instead. His people have hinted that that's something Mattarella may well consider. Al voto, ma prima al mare, the League's Matteo Salvini didn't at first glance seem to appreciate any of the above, noting without irony, not his preferred stylistic device anyway, that Italian politics isn't a marketplace, and we're not horse trading here. But even he said he wouldn't stand in the way of a transitional government. Its lifespan, per Salvini, as short as possible. But the next vote won't be in July because, again, no irony here, the holidays of the Italians are sacrosanct. That's where we are. Back where we were last week, or actually in March. Whose fault is it anyway? Mario Draghi was meant to save the Eurozone and the troubled Italian economy. But he now risks being remembered as the man who helped propel it over the cliff, writes our own Jacopo Baragazzi. Grazie, Gunther. Matthew Carnishnig argues that Oettinger was right in his commentary on Italy. Like it or not, markets do decide how people vote. The neat Steven Erlinger offers this stake, Mattarella has given Italians. Exceptionally, the same option built into the French election system. Two rounds of voting, the first to vote your heart, and the second to vote your head. Meanwhile, PTI, the next international appointment for whoever resides at the Prime Ministerial Palazzo Chigi is a G7 summit next week in Canada. They should probably hold off on printing the place cards, who knows who'll show up for Italy. Meanwhile, PT2, Alitalia, still, for some reason, the country's pride, which is kept in the air via some 900 million euros of taxpayers' money, decided to throw flight attendants' uniforms in the trash after only 18 months. Link Yesta has the report and calls it lavishness. But remember, the government has promised to sell the company, or what's left of it, by October, and a new set of uniforms will at least amount to some assets. Tariffs ahead. D-Day, another Trump deadline is looming on Friday. And Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström told Europeans to expect the U.S. to impose tariffs or quotas against EU steel and aluminum exports. Hopefully we will be able to have a positive agenda with the U.S. side, with no tariffs or quotas. Realistically, however, we do not think we can hope for that, Malmström said after a meeting with U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in Paris. A European diplomat said that EU countries had been told by the Commission to prepare for the worst. Side note, Ross himself identified another one of those unnecessary barriers to trade. The US is apparently deeply concerned about the EU's data protection rules, which came into effect last week, he said, warning they could significantly interrupt transatlantic cooperation and create unnecessary barriers to trade. European response. French and German economy ministers Bruno Le Maire and Peter Altmaier used the occasion of the OECD ministerial meeting to say that the EU won't accept being hit by tariffs and that its reaction will be firm and united. Read more about that in today's OECD pop-up playbook, online in a couple of hours. Unlikely ally, ALDE leader Guy Verhofstadt. Speaking in the Strasbourg European Parliament chamber. If tomorrow there is trade war with Trump, we have to be behind the German industry, even the German cars. Watch Verhofstadt here, and also enjoy his rant on why the idea of simply devaluing to become competitive is bonkers. He was speaking about Italy, in a world where ordinary people still want to buy iPhones and German cars. Politico is delighted to invite you to the event Artificial Intelligence, the Next Frontier in Healthcare, on Wednesday, June 20th, presented by Philips. Join Janosch Dielker, Politico's AI correspondent, as he sits down with Roberto Viola, the European Commission's Director General for Communications Networks, Content and Technology, Paul Bate from Babylon Health, and Eleonora Harwich from Reform to discuss how artificial intelligence can make our healthcare systems fit for the 21st century and deliver better patient outcomes and more value for money. Register to save a seat. In other news, some Brexit logic: you can't have a department for exiting the European Union after you've exited the European Union. One top UK government official told our own Tom McDake, who reports about a planned government overhaul after Brexit. What message would that send? We have to give people concrete evidence that we've left the EU. That has to happen as soon as we've left. Europe wants more, student, Brits. New rules for the Erasmus Student Exchange Programme are opening the door for post-Brexit Britain, reports Laura Greenhug. Opinion: EU squandering Brexit budget opportunity. Tim King writes in his latest Brussels sketch that Brexit is a dark cloud hanging over the European Union. But its silver lining is the opportunity for far-reaching reform of the EU's finances. Sadly, it's an opportunity that Jean-Claude Juncker and Gunther Oettinger appear ready to waste. He's alive, Arkady Babchenko, a Russian journalist and Kremlin critic who was reported murdered in Ukraine on Tuesday, appeared, alive, at a news conference on Wednesday. Ukrainian authorities said they had staged the killing as a sting operation. Babchenko's resurrection came less than 24 hours after Ukrainian authorities reported he had been shot and killed outside his apartment in Kyiv, where he has lived since fleeing political harassment in Russia in 2017. David Herzenhorn has more. Now, if taking part in a Ukraine-organized staging of his murder helps his cause or instead poisons the well of truth, that's for you to judge. But admittedly, that's easy to write from Brussels. Spain's political survivor faces ultimate test. Spain's Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy could be ousted as soon as Friday, with a two-day no-confidence debate in Parliament kicking off today. Diego Torres has the latest. That's quite a deal, The Evening Standard, the newspaper run by former UK Chancellor George Osborne, issued a statement Wednesday night denying an Open Democracy report that accused it of offering positive news coverage to the likes of Uber and Google in exchange for corporate partnerships worth hundreds of thousands of pounds, as part of an upcoming campaign called London 2020. In today's London Playbook, Charlie Cooper writes that Open Democracy claimed that corporate partners were offered news and comment pieces that will appear to readers as routine, independently written editorial. Parent company SI Media's commercial director, John O'Donnell, gave a statement to the Drum in response, calling the story a grossly inaccurate and a wildly misunderstood interpretation of the London 2020 project. Over and out. More book tips, Thomas Nipperty's Deutsche Geschichte. If that's a bit challenging, I enormously enjoyed reading James Hawes' The Shortest History of Germany recently. If you're more into fiction, Jaime Tove von Doderer's Die Marowinger would have a similar mind-blowing effect. I've held dear for a long time the Tales of 1001 Nights, in a beautiful, thin-print edition. And as some of you good people react so well to provocation, Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. I'll tell you at some point what I'd recommend off the canon. It might be summer in Brussels, but there's still some time to go until the August exodus. Service entry, some of you living in Belgium may yet have some unspent eco checks that your employer gave you 2 years ago, which expire today. Probably the most hassle-free way to spend them, if you've got half an hour, is to go to a qualified shop rather than to look for individual products meeting the requirements in the tempting environment of an electronics store. That might mean taking those subsidies the organic way. There can never be too much greed in olive oil. Austrian Grüneveltliner, Italian pasta and fine Japanese green tea in the house. New role, the Commission's Yi Zhou-ren, former press officer for competition, is expected to join Marguerite Vestager's cabinet starting July. H.T. Kalina or Oskakov. Birthdays, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán turns 55. José Ignacio Salafranca Sánchez Nera and Barbara Spinelli MEPs. John Prescott, former UK Deputy Prime Minister. Tristram Hunt, English historian and former MP. Laura Hillman. A message from the EPP Group, member countries are not doing enough to protect victims of terrorism and other serious crimes, including domestic abuse, despite existing EU law having obliged them to put common minimum standards in place. 6 years ago, we adopted legally binding rules to protect victims of crime. However, they still do not receive proper care. They need tailor-made, free-of-charge help easily accessible in one place, independent of their nationality or where the crime against them was committed. This also applies to victims of terrorism. We call for a web portal, an emergency telephone line, a coordination center of support organizations and experts to provide practical services to the victims, and a European fund for assistance to the victims of terrorism to be created as soon as possible. Subscribe to the Politico newsletter family, Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook, all our Politico pro-policy morning newsletters.